Tonight, I should like to talk to you about Guatemala. It's a scene of dramatic events. They expose the evil purpose of the Kremlin to destroy the inter-American system, and they test the ability of the American states to maintain the peaceful integrity of this hemisphere. For several years now, international communism has been probing here and there for nesting places in the Americas. It finally chose Guatemala as a spot which it could turn into an official base from which to breed subversion, which would extend to the other American republics. This intrusion of Soviet despotism was, of course, a direct challenge to the Monroe Doctrine, the first and most fundamental of our foreign policies. It's interesting to recall that the menace which brought the Monroe Doctrine into existence was itself a menace born in Russia. It was Tsar Alexander and his despotic allies in Europe who early in the last century sought control of South America and the western parts of North America. And in 1823, President Monroe confronted this challenge with his declaration that the European despots could not extend their political system to any portion of either continent without endangering our peace and happiness. We would not, he said, behold such interposition in any form with indifference. These sentiments were shared by the other American republics, and they were molded into a foreign policy for all of us. For 131 years now, this policy has well served the peace and security of this hemisphere, and it serves us well today. In Guatemala, international communism had an initial success. It began 10 years ago when a revolution occurred in Guatemala. The revolution was not without justification, but the communists seized on it not as an opportunity for real reforms, but as a chance to gain political power. Communist agitators devoted themselves to infiltrating the public and private organizations of Guatemala. They sent recruits to Russia for revolutionary training and indoctrination in such institutions as the Lenin School at Moscow. Operating under the guise of reformers, they organized the workers and the peasants under communist leadership. And having gained control of what they call the mass organizations, they moved on to take over the official press and radio of the Guatemalan government. They dominated the Social Security Organization and ran the agrarian reform program. Through the technique of the so-called Popular Front, they dictated to the Congress and to the president. The judiciary made one valiant attempt to protect its integrity and independence, but the communists, using their control of the legislative body, caused the Supreme Court to be dissolved when it refused to give approval of a communist-contrived law. Arbenz, who until this week was the president of Guatemala, was openly manipulated by the leaders of communism. Guatemala is a small country, but its power standing alone is not a measure of the threat. The master plan of international communism is to gain a solid political base in this hemisphere, a base that then can be used to extend communist penetration to the other peoples of the American governments. It was not the power of the Arbenz government that concerned us, but the power behind it. If world communism captures any American state, however small, a new and perilous front is established which will increase the danger to the entire free world and require even greater sacrifices from the American people. The situation in Guatemala had become so dangerous that the American states could not ignore it. And so at Caracas last month, when the American states held their 10th Inter-American Conference, they adopted a momentous declaration. They said that the domination or the control of the political institutions of any American state by international communism would constitute a threat to the sovereignty and political independence of the American states, endangering the peace of America. There was only one American state that voted against that resolution. That state was Guatemala. This Caracas Declaration precipitated a dramatic and rapidly moving chain of events. From their European base, the communist leaders moved quickly to build up the military power of their agents in Guatemala. In May, a large shipment of arms was moved from behind the Iron Curtain into Guatemala. This shipment was sought to be secreted by false manifestos and false clearances. The ostensible destination of the shipment was changed three times while the shipment was en route. At the same time, the agents of international communism in Guatemala intensified their efforts to penetrate and to subvert the neighboring Central American states. They attempted political assassinations and political strikes. They used their consular agents for political warfare. Many Guatemalan people protested against their being used by communist dictatorship to serve the communists' lust for power. What was the response? It was mass arrests, the suppression of constitutional guarantees, the killing of opposition leaders, and other brutal tactics such as are normally employed by communism to secure the consolidation of its power. In the face of these events, and in accordance with the spirit of the Caracas Declaration, the nations of this hemisphere laid further plans to grapple with the danger. The Arbenz government responded with efforts to disrupt the inter-American system. And because this Guatemalan regime enjoyed the full support of Soviet Russia, which is a permanent member of the Security Council of the United Nations, Guatemala tried to bring this matter before the Security Council. It did so without first referring the matter to the American Regional Organization, as is called for both by the Charter of the United Nations and by the treaty which creates the American Organization. The Foreign Minister of Guatemala openly connived in this matter with the Foreign Minister of the Soviet Union. The two were in open correspondence, an ill-concealed privity. The Security Council at first voted overwhelmingly to refer this Guatemalan matter to the Organization of the American States. And the vote was 10-1, but the one negative vote was a Soviet veto. And then that encouraged the Guatemalan government to go on, and with Soviet backing, it redoubled its efforts to try to supplant the American system by Security Council jurisdiction. However, last Friday, the United Nations Security Council decided not to take up the Guatemalan matter, but to leave it in the first instance to the American states themselves. That was a triumph for the system of balance between regional organization and world organization, a balance which the American states had fought for and won when the charter was drawn up at San Francisco. And then the American states moved promptly to deal with the situation. Their peace commission left yesterday for Guatemala. And earlier, the American states had voted overwhelmingly to call a meeting of the foreign ministers of the American states to consider the penetration of international communism in Guatemala and the measures required to eliminate it. Never before has there been so clear a call uttered with such a sense of urgency and strong resolve. Throughout this period that I've outlined, the Guatemalan governments and the communist agents throughout the world have persistently attempted to obscure the real issue, that of communist imperialism, by claiming that the United States is only interested in protecting American business. We regret that there have been disputes between the government of Guatemala and the United Fruit Company, We have urged repeatedly that these disputes should be submitted to settlement by an international tribunal or by international arbitration. That's the way to dispose of problems of this sort. But this business issue is relatively unimportant. All who know the temper of the American people, of the United States people, and the United States government must realize that our overriding concern is that which with other American states we recorded at Caracas, namely the endangering by international communism of the peace and security of this hemisphere. The people of Guatemala have now been heard from. Despite the armaments piled up by the Arbenz government, it has been unable to enlist the spiritual cooperation of the people. Led by Colonel Castillo Armas, patriots arose in Guatemala to challenge the communist leadership and to change it. Thus, the situation is being cured by the Guatemalans themselves. Last Sunday, President Arbenz of Guatemala resigned and seeks asylum, and other communists and fellow travelers are following his example. Tonight, just as I speak, Colonel Castillo Armas is in conference in El Salvador with Colonel Monzon, the head of the council which has taken over the power in Guatemala City. It is this power which the just wrath of the Guatemalan people wrested from President Arbenz, who took flight. Now, the future lies at the disposal of the Guatemalan people themselves. It lies at the disposal of leaders loyal to Guatemala who have not treasonably become the agents of an alien despotism which sought to use Guatemala for its own evil ends. The events of recent months and days adds a new and glorious chapter to the already great tradition of the American states. Each one of the American states has cause for profound gratitude. We can all be grateful that we showed at Caracas an impressive solidarity in support of our American institutions. And I may add that are prepared to do so again at the conference which may be held in Rio. Advanced knowledge of that solidarity undoubtedly shook the former Guatemalan government. We can be grateful to the Organization of American States because it showed that it could act quickly and vigorously in aid of peace. There was proof that our American organization is not just a paper organization, but that it has vigor and vitality to act. We can be grateful to the United Nations Security Council because it recognized the right of regional organizations in the first instance to order their own affairs. Otherwise, Soviet Russia would have started a controversy which would have set regionalism against universality and gravely wounded both. Above all, we can be grateful that there were loyal citizens of Guatemala who, in the face of terrorism and violence, and against what seemed insuperable odds, had the courage and the will to eliminate the traitorous tools of foreign despotism. The need for vigilance is not past. Communism is still a menace everywhere. But the people of the United States and the other American republics can tonight feel that at least one grave danger has been averted. Also, an example has been set which promises increased security for the future. The ambitious and unscrupulous will be less prone to feel that communism is a wave of their future.